Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris.
Hello, hello.
Well, you know, we were talking in the first hour about so much stuff.
Right, yeah.
So much stuff. But we're talking about our veterans and Israel, and we're talking about not being anxious. It's so important that we just don't take on anxiousness, and that we just begin just to realize that, you know what? Start, you know, I love what Proverbs says, that a wise man or wise woman gives thought to their ways. Mm-hmm. You know, in your time of abiding, your time of sitting at time apart with the Lord, mm-hmm. evaluate things. Think about right. How you said things and how you came across, and you'll find that you may have to repent. You may have to ask for forgiveness. Listen, you know, we all make mistakes. We need right. to be able to look at those things, and if we're anxious about anything, we can take that to God.
Right.
We really can, because anxiousness is just going to drain us and just wear us just off.
Right.
And there's victory in God. There's victory in that, and we can have peace, and we can walk through anything because God will be there with us.
Right. Absolutely.
I want to talk, guys, in this extra hour. And we've been doing this whole last week. I want to continue to do that this today as well. And by the way, I do want to give some shout-outs there. Did have a chance to talk to Pastor Steve the other day. Pastor Steve up in Pittsburgh.
All
holding
right.
holding it down.
How's he doing?
So he's doing good. We're already making plans and strategies on how we're going to get together. And it's, you know, it's only a six-hour journey, but we're trying to figure out how that can happen. But mm-hmm.
Six hour drive between you two.
Yep, that's
oh,
it.
Cool,
that's
cool.
It. So we're talking and just encouraging each other in the Lord, and it's just so good. A chance to give a shout out there to Pastor Brett. He was scraping ice when I was talking to him, scraping ice out there in Colorado. And
oh yeah,
man, I'm just so proud of what they're doing out there in Colorado. God's just moving on all over this country. I tell you, it's just absolutely amazing. But we want to talk today about rethinking church, as we give a shout out to Greg here today. We'll give a good old shout out to him and encourage him. We want to hear what he has to say mm-hmm. about rethinking church as he leads us in this conversation mm-hmm. About being the church being institutionalized, confined, mm-hmm. and maybe and content. It's just, right. just a question. It's just a question here. And in this segment, we're going to be challenged. We're going to talk about evangelism, the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about fences, which is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need fences if you have a relationship with God. But if you have a relationship with God, you need some fences, you know.
That's right.
But if you know him and walk with him, and he's your Lord, and you hear his voice, and you follow another, then you're good.
Mm-hmm.
You're good. So we want to hear this segment, and we're going to come back and share some more.
We're going to talk about rethinking church, you know, rethinking it. Just the statement alone, if you were held in captivity to religion, just puts a shiver up your spine and causes you to, like, we're not supposed to think about this. We're just supposed to do it.
That's right.
But you understand it. If it is what you're doing is right and it's of God and it's written in the script, if it's in the lines of the Bible, then you're just going to be encouraged.
That's right.
And if it's not, you'll know where you need to change things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't have a committee meeting, you know, have a prayer meeting and just say, you know, we need to rethink this. And let's just talk about rethinking church. First, I want to talk about a particular movie. I've only seen the version of this movie because I heard there's another version of it, but I've seen kind of like the television version of it. Mm-hmm. And it could just speak on so many levels to a church being held in captivity. And it's called Shawshank Redemption. And it's about prisoners that are in prison. I think it starts out with a particular man who gets convicted of a murder that he didn't do. Mm-hmm. And but they spend all this time in prison. And in it, you know, and I can't tell you what version. I just encourage you to get Clear Play and watch it with that. Then you don't know. But but it's powerful. Because we need to rapidly get this. This is why I'm talking like this. We don't have time to go, okay, let's just ponder this for the first quarter of the second century and work our way through this. You know, we're going to have to get it. We have to get it quickly. And God's, look what the adversary uses to be able to convince people to buy into his wrongness. Well, why don't we use what helps people understand quickly for people to surrender their life more quickly to God and to righteousness, you know? And Shawshank Redemption is where you have these people. They're in prison. Their life's going on, you know, inside there, and they just get used to operating in the context of confinement. You know, they start, you know, doing laundry, eating food, having social situations, you know, reading books. Their biggest accomplishments are if they ask long enough. Then finally somebody gives them a little bit of freedom. And this one particular man in there was wanting a library, and he was wanting some different things. And he'd write like a letter a week for 7 years or something. Yeah. And finally they said, okay, we'll let you teach us Sunday school. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, no, it kind of, anyway, so they give him, you know, a check for $100 or something. Oh. And send him some used books and say, okay, we solved this, stop writing us. And so he goes, well, now I'm going to write him 2 letters a week. and when you're in captivity, you know, just small little things make huge differences. And what this particular man who I'm talking about was kind of, I guess, the key role player or whatever. I'm not good with the people who they are. But he had a vision for the outside. His heart, even though his body was on the inside, his heart was on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so he would constantly help the guys who've been confined for so long talk about, you know, it's outside. Mm-hmm. You know, a young guy comes in, he, you know, didn't finish his school or whatever. And so he helped him get his high school diploma and helps him build vision for the outside. But of course, the warden, who is a very religiously lost evil dude, kills this guy, and he just kills any hope, and he uses the talents of his prisoners to be able to increase his gain and his wealth. But that, we're not talking about all of that. That's a whole nother story. I'm talking about Black. His name was Black, and he was an older guy, and he's been institutionalized now all of his life, and he knew that it was coming time for him to be free, to live life on the outside. And so he just wanted to deliver the library books, and he just knew how to function in confinement. He knew how to be institutionalized, and he was really well. And so they hear this disturbance that was happening inside the prison, and they go running because they have like a little clique, you know, their friends and stuff are together, and they go find out what's going on. They find out it's Black. You know, he's probably in his 60s maybe. And he's got a penknife, a little small penknife, at somebody's throat. He's holding him back. And he's just terrified. This man's terrified. And then they take him and put him, I guess, in solitaire or something of that nature. And they're discussing Black in the prison yard where you can exercise and all. Mm-hmm. And some people are criticizing him. But one of the men who's been very institutionalized, he begins to say that, no, you don't understand. He's just institutionalized. Mm-hmm. That's all he knows is the institution. He's terrified. He's terrified to step outside. The unknown. He doesn't know. He would rather live in what he's used to, even in captivity, even if he gets another charge on him, even if they have to think bad of him, even if he's got to go through 13 more years of counseling with the pastor's, you know, therapy,
right,
that he would rather do that than to go out in this freedom. And he was terrified. He was scared. He was so terrified of freedom. He didn't know. He knows how to be institutionalized, but he doesn't know how to be free. He doesn't know how to be free. And he understands somebody telling him when he can use the bathroom. He understands somebody telling him that you have to wash these dishes. Somebody telling him it's time to go to bed. He understands it's time. So, you know, you need to be here at 8:15 and you need to be finished up by 8:16. We're going to be out of here eating pot roast at 8:18. I mean, they got to have some. They're institutionalized. And so long story short is they free him. And you're watching this older man very, you know, just somebody you think of your grandfather or something. And when you understand, yet you have compassion for him and you understand he was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see him stepping out with his briefcase or something and his couple bucks. This is like in the 60s, I think, or 40s. And he steps over the threshold and you see his black shoe step over that threshold and you can just kind of feel his anxiety. He's looking around and now he's out of the building, John.
Wow.
He's out of the building. This is the unknown territory. Is the same God who we talked about in confinement, is he out here anywhere? Right?
That's right.
And so then he goes and he gets into a halfway house. And that's what the church, look, don't put down halfway houses because the church is going to have to, we're going to have to develop halfway houses. Halfway houses is when you're half out of confinement and half into freedom. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to be able to jump straight from confinement, captivity, to freedom because you're not going to know how to operate it. You're going to need a transition house. You're going to need a transition family. You're mm-hmm. going to need somebody say, no. That may have worked in captivity, but out here, you have to have a fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can act a fool in the jail, but you act a fool out here, Ananias, and it'll cost you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
So you need a transition house. You need a halfway house.
Mm-hmm.
And so he moved into a halfway house. You know, he wasn't all the way free and he wasn't all the way captive. And he goes and gets a job. And the job that they give him is bagging groceries. And they didn't think he was moving fast enough. He would ask permission, you know, things like, you know, can I go tell somebody about Jesus? No. He'd ask permission, like, can I use the bathroom right now? He says, stop asking me when you need to go to the bathroom. Stop asking me, is it time to pray?
Mm-hmm.
Stop asking me, can you read your Bible? Stop asking me, can you go witness to somebody? Stop asking me, can you go preach the gospel? This is what you do naturally out here in freedom. You're free under God. This is what you do. But he didn't know. All he knew was confinement. He needed somebody mentoring him and helping him in the halfway house to say, listen, you're not crazy. I understand. You've been institutionalized. All you know, and you got to convince them, because all he wanted to do was go back. I just want to be back in the prison again. Right, where things are predictable. I didn't care if they put me in there for 20 years. As long as I don't have to come out here where there's lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. As long as I don't have to go out here where the wolves are, that's going to cost me something. As long as I personally don't have to have a relationship with God, but somebody else can, and tell me what he's saying. Because if you don't have a fear of God, you need a fence. You need confinement. You need captivity because you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like a fear of God that keeps you in alignment with what, you know, what he tells us to do. And so then he just becomes so overwhelmed with it. He becomes so overwhelmed with this, Black does, that he goes to the halfway house and he takes his knife and he writes on this header in the room that he was in. It says, Black was here. And then he takes a rope. He stands on a table, and all they show you is his feet at this point. And he's standing on this table where he's taking the rope, and he's tying a noose. And then he kicks the table out from under his feet. And this man who was freed from captivity, this man who had all this freedom, who could have lived all this life, chose death over freedom.
Wow. Mm.
And let me tell you something. We're going to need to rethink church. Listen. I can't help believe, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I can't help believe because I've talked to a lot of the captives.
Mm.
that it is an institutionalized captive church. I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm not talking about, you know, doing your own thing. There's no system. We're doing God's thing. That's what you're supposed to do. He's our Lord. He's our leader. He's our shepherd. We submit to him in everything. I mean, he's the one. But then he has his form of family government, you know. And right now, the government is basically, imagine, you know, prison wardens. And I literally heard, you know, these leaders over these institutions, some say, and I'm not telling that they're not, I mean, you need somebody to lead it. If everybody wants to run into captivity, somebody's got to manage the orphanage, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Thank God for the lady who gave me oatmeal and I needed it, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything negative about that, but if you're so terrified, and remember this, don't think about the church as whole in the concept of accountability. Understand, you will answer alone before God by yourself. No witnesses, no suspects. What you did with this Jesus you profess to know. So you can't say, well, you know, they only let me pass out books. They only let me use the bathroom at a certain time. They only let me preach something. What? No, you were terrified. You were terrified. And let me tell you something. If you don't understand this, you're going to get so upset when people look you square in the eye, and the truth is they rather kill themselves than to be free. Mm-hmm. They rather die in captivity. Please, please, no, don't let me come outside the building. It's like, the building wasn't even here. It was just a place. And it's like, what do you do for the other 6.5 days of the week? I mean, what do you do? Oh, I'm in darkness. Mm-hmm. I only come in here to do light things. But out there, I do dark things. And because you read the Word of God, when you read the book of Acts, it's about a free people under the leadership of Jesus Christ, who God moves amongst us and deals with us and loves us, and people fear coming amongst our number. It's Ananias and Sapphira, you know, who God knew their intentions. And even though they thought they were dealing with man, they were dealing with God, and God dealt with them. It's about Eli, who's been very religious, and people have been making money off his soothsayingness. But it's about Paul turning to Eli and say, be blind. And everybody sees this man who professed to know some God is not. There's no structure in the context of that. There's structure in the context of love. It's love that holds us together. Listen, that movie, and I'm telling you, the whole thing from the beginning to the end in the version, I guess the TV version I saw, you know, and don't, I mean, it, I have no, I can't answer for it, but Pat says there's some things that you don't need to have, you see, but it's prison. And you're wondering why all these weird things are happening to the church. It's because the church is in captivity. Anything, you know, passion denied perverts. Things held in a tight place for too long starts twisting and turning and all that. We're supposed to be free, not rebellious free, but we're supposed to be advanced to the kingdom of God. He says, listen, he says, go into all the world. We're the go-e church, not the come-e church. You keep inviting people to your box while you refuse to get out of it. You keep inviting people to your prison, and the reason why they don't come, it doesn't make sense. They're thinking, what are you doing? You're like captive. I don't want to get in that building with you. Last I knew you before you were in that building. Ever since you went in that building, I never seen you again. And now you can't even relate to him anymore. You can't relate to me anymore. And that's what Black was. Black was like, I've been out of the world so long, I don't know how to relate to people in the world. I don't know how to function. And it's like, no, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You're supposed to have empathy for me and reach me because God loves me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. So you need to come to me while I'm yet sinning and tell me that he loves me, and tell me that he loves me and he has a plan for my life, that he'll forgive my sin. While I'm dripping with my prostitution and religion's throwing me at the feet of Jesus, you look at me and say, where, you know, he that's without sin cast the first stone. But I'm sitting here getting thrown down by religious folk in the streets, being stoned in the streets while you're in captivity.
Terrified to share your testimony.
Terrified. And you have to understand now, the halfway house is very important. The transition. Right now, we got to transition ourselves from being under Pharaoh, under Egypt's captivity, to being free under God's form of government, which is family government. It was he that gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to be able to train God's people to live free right. for works of service to go into the field. It is not, I mean, there's been some awesome Easter plays, but there's been some awesome movies as well. You know? I mean, it's more than that. It's your life. I want to see your life. I want to see how you're married. I want to see how you spend your money. I want to see how you deal with stress and anxiety. I want to see how you vote. I want to see how you live your day-to-day life. I want to walk in unexpectedly, and I want to see if you're the same person that you were when I saw you when you were expecting me. I want to know your life. I want to see your light. But you only do that in captivity. I don't even know. If you did not dress up in some, you know, Sunday school suit, I would have never known you were as a believer.
Controlled environments.
Controlled. And listen, I can relate to this. I used to run a prison. I used to be a deputy, and you know, I was so institutionalized in regards to the church that if you didn't go to the building, you just felt very awkward.
That's right.
But you didn't feel awkward 6.5 days a week that you weren't, the time weren't there on the billboard to be in the building.
Right.
And it's like, why do you feel awkward when the warden says to be here at this certain time and you're not? And I'm just talking about a spirit of things. You know, I love the body of Christ. But listen, God's called you to be free. We need help. We need light in the world. And God allowed the church to be persecuted in Jerusalem just so they'd get out the buildings in Jerusalem. You know, the houses of go. And if that persecution was not allowed by God, that means the apostleship would not have stayed there. James, all of them would have been removed. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The leadership of the church stayed in Jerusalem, and mm-hmm. why the people who were just comfortable and convenient and said, we're just going to stay right here, we're not going to go to the uttermost parts, they were actually scattered. Mm-hmm. And it's what's about to happen. Let me tell you what's about to happen, and I believe that's why, you know, we're here talking to you, is you're about to be scattered. But you listen, you're going to be like black. You're not going to, it's not like, you know, God's hating on you. God's freeing you. But you're going to feel like black. Lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh, my.
Oh, lions, tigers, and bears, right?
Right.
And so you're going to have to realize that there is no wizard behind the curtain running things. There is a God who will speak to you. And you can abide with him, and he'll teach you every step of the way what you need to do. When you hear us talk about abiding, at iabide.org is a great plan for you to be able to get. We're talking about learning to hear his voice. You cannot live in freedom if you can't hear his voice. You're going to be riding one captivity to the next captivity. It's a different kind of captivity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you read about the call, the prophetic vision of the call with Rick Joyner, when he wrote that, he's talking about people were in prison and their cliques, and they didn't even know they were in prison. And so you started talking to them. But when you talk to them, then they would lighten up. They go, yes, that's right. But as soon as you'd walk away, they go back in darkness again. Then if you got vision, if you got the ability to see, you're in this big prison wall. This is the church, how he describes it. And God showed him in a vision. Then you would start to go over the wall. But on the wall were teachers. Mm-hmm. And they, if they found out you had vision, they'd start shooting at you. This is all a vision. This is God showing a picture of what things are like. And they start shooting because you're not supposed to get out of the walls. Mm. And I've heard very specifically said, when I see somebody going astray, when I see somebody leaving my building, I throw a stick at them and hit them with it.
Mm.
You know, speaking in a metaphorical way, he said. I mean, say that word, but that's, I'm assuming he's saying metaphor.
Yeah. You're assuming he's not like throwing something at that, right?
And to hit them, to make them come back. That's an institutional, that's a prison, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus let them go and even turned to the 12 around him and said, what about you? Are you going to go next? You are holding God's people in confinement for your own personal gain. Sorry, that's what you're doing. You teach people together. You don't control people together. You teach them God's ways. You teach them how to abide with God. You encourage them, but it's God that does the convicting. It's the Holy Spirit that does the directing and the comforting and the instructing and the reminding. And the sad thing is that if you didn't force them to stay with you, they probably wouldn't be with you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's right.
And if it's being with you and not being with God, I think it's a good thing. So at least they can go out and know where they're at to begin to possibly pursue a relationship with God instead of a relationship with religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I really sense in my spirit as we begin to rethink church that begin to get in the Word. Read the book of Acts when we're talking about this and just start reading and see yourself in the book of Acts. Realize that's the church and what's happening. And think about Black when he was getting freed from this institution. That don't, you know, people would rather kill you than tell you they're afraid. You know, what part of don't you say, I'm not going to tell you that I'm actually terrified to step out in my neighborhood and talk about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what part am I going to tell you that I'm trying to work overtime so you please don't make me go out there and tell somebody and be the light in the world? Mm-hmm. You know, that I indebt myself so I can tell you that I have to work more and I need more money.
Mm-hmm.
What, top 3% of the world in income, America? Come on.
All right.
That, I mean, all these excuses, and they realize is, the reality is that it's like Black. So you need a halfway house. I mean, it's going to be difficult unless you were already seeing and functioning like the one guy was, freedom in his heart, and he understood how to be free because he was free before that. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to probably need some transition. And God's putting people together, I believe, across the land. And one thing he's done with the VFN family, you know, is how to transit. You know, we wouldn't think you're crazy when you start talking about captivity like mm-hmm. it is normal. We'll just kind of smile and go, yeah, that's yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that when they let you teach Sunday school? Okay, cool. Let's get some food to talk. And so you need that transition where people are going to relate to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, you're just going to have to be the church. You know, God will only hold your hand for so long. I mean, you got to choose who you're going to serve. And because we've been in captivity, we don't know how to act free. We don't know how to be free. We don't understand that abiding is not an option. It is a mandate, and it's mm-hmm. the only way that we can survive in the context of being a follower mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. Listen, rethinking the church, begin to rethink it. Rethink it in the context of his word, not some weird thing out here, not some books outside the Bible, but in your prayer and hanging out with people who understand freedom in God is following Jesus Christ. Well, you know, we were talking about in this first hour, is that not encouraging to begin to rethink? I mean, giving ourselves permission to look again.
Sure.
To rethink church, rethinking it, and digging the wells and pulling out the foundation of what we're called to be. You know, think about it. That in the beginning of, and we're just kind of continuing on. This has really started in the second part of the first hour. You know, is how could going back to the blueprints of how your house was built, how could that be wrong? And somebody says, well, you know, it's changed a lot since then. But this is the foundation. Mm-hmm. This is when the church was in its purest form.
Right.
This is before, you know, men got a hold of it and we started kicking our traditions in and our philosophies in and things we got figured out already in and our fears kind of interwoving in what we're doing. And
mm-hmm.
and when you read the book of Acts, when you read it, it is amazing when you find out. It should excite you when you don't look at it anymore as a history book, but you look at it as who we are and what we're supposed to do. When the disciples were being persecuted for being the church, and they were put into prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you were listening the other day, but we've got to quit buying into anytime somebody goes to jail that what they're being accused of is right. Like, it's amazing how that is until you're the one that goes. Like, oh, right. You can't believe you're believing that stuff. You believe it on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That good people get accused of wrong things. That's why we have this judicial system that our founding fathers, you know, worked out and God allowed us to have, and God's into justice.
Mm-hmm.
But realize that, you know, Paul got put in prison
a few times.
And so the disciples are being persecuted. They're told not to preach this Jesus anymore. You notice that there's some Jesuses you can preach. Paul said there's another Jesus. Somebody preaches to another Jesus. And if you haven't yet went to the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, type in another Jesus. And it'll come up and listen to it, because right now, in the business sense, you know, there's some great decisions to be made in the future. But in regards to the another Jesus, does it really matter which other Jesus people are preaching if it's not the right one?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I think the worst form of not Jesus, another Jesus that you can preach, is one that's real close to what's right.
Mm.
It is better to be the bipolar opposite.
Right.
You know, just totally at enmity with the whole concept of saying, you know, well, you know, I'm kind of with you on that. I just see that there's another, as an angel that came down, and we kind of follow this angel versus following Jesus because we kind of hear things more clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, men will worship angels. They'll worship angels rather than, you know, worshiping God. And if it is Jesus, then let go of your angel and follow Jesus. You know, rid yourself of all the revelations your angel gave you outside the Word of God, and acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and His Father as God, and His Spirit, the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And because Jesus said, when they do believe, I want you to acknowledge the whole aspect of who I am. Although I'm three, that I'm one. And he says, you know, that you baptize them. When you bring them into me, when you do that, you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you can lose your mind trying to figure out the Trinity.
Right.
But you can lose your salvation by not acknowledging it.
Mm.
And so, say what you want. When you start hearing people, you know, preach another Jesus and deny that there's not a Spirit of God and that there's not a Father God and that, you know, you are, you'll be a God like He's a God and, you know, that was the ultimate sin. And that's what Satan did. And so, and they come as servants of righteousness, you know, because he masquerades as an angel of light. And it's going to look right. It's probably going to look more right than what's right. Because
always
the woman
does, false always does.
Yeah, because they, you know, yeah, this prostitute that was just this woman caught in adultery, thrown at the feet of Jesus. I mean, but she was forgiven at that point. But she still looked like the world. I mean, she's fresh out of her sin, versus somebody that just squeaks when they walk on the outside, but the inside, they're like whitewashed tombs because they've been trying to earn their righteousness by their works and different levels, you know.
This is so good because, you know, you're talking about rethinking church. It's so important. And one of the key things he says here, Pat, is that, you know, you focus all this attention and all this time trying to keep bringing people into a building when the reality is that you got to get everyone outside the building.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And part of the being, you know, you can become so used to doing what you've been doing that you don't even take the time to actually say, you know, does this relate to what I actually read even in the scriptures? Is this, you know, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was just a great analogy.
Yeah.
It was really a great analogy.
Right.
Because if you've been institutionalized, if you've been going through the motions, if you're sitting in the same chair, sitting in the same spot, doing the same thing, you just think that that's normal.
And we made this correction, I believe, the next after that's originally aired, but the gentleman he called Black, his name was actually Brooks.
Okay.
So if you've seen it or not seen it, that's who he was talking about, this older gentleman named Brooks.
Right, right, right. And so it's time no longer to be captive. It's okay to rethink this. It's okay to even to begin to transition. It doesn't necessarily mean you even have to leave where you're presently at, but it just definitely has to mean that you have to rethink what you're doing and what you're calling church, because it's you know, we're supposed to be a go ye church, not a come ye church. We're supposed to be focusing on what's on the outside, not what's on the inside.
All right.
And if whatever you're doing is, if you're getting so caught up in the fact that it's all about what's happening inside this building and not what's happening out in the harvest field, we're totally missing it.
Right.
You know, you become so institutionalized and so self-absorbed with what's happening at this one location that we forget that there's a dying. We were made for the outside.
Mm-hmm.
We were made to live on the front lines of the outside, constantly reaching, constantly extending, constantly showing the love of God.
Right.
And not creating a nest where we can feel comfortable, be encouraged, and thank God that we're out, that we're inside in the warmth and not in the cold, if you will. You know what I mean? We need to be out there in the cold. We need to be in the highways and the byways and helping people to come to save knowledge of God. Well, this was so good. I'm so thankful for this Rethinking Church movement because it really gets us to challenge us in exactly what we're doing and what we call the church today.
Right.
We'll be right back.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It will come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Daily Radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today, what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Thank you for joining us in the extra hour. My name is John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Pat, did you see how Chris was just getting down during that trip?
I don't know about him. I thought you were about to break something.
I had no idea you can do that grooving, Chris. I mean, I know you had the swoosh going on and everything, but I didn't know he is the groove daddy. He has some moves. You know, he's kind of a slick guy there. Yeah. Don't let his quietness fool you. He'll sneak up on you and go, wham.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They don't call him Chris Cat for nothing, man.
Right. Smooth.
Well, oh my goodness. You know, we're coming to the end of the extra hour, and we always like to share the wisdom moment. And the wisdom moment, you know, we share the wisdom moment with the day. Today's the 12th. Day of the month, and we like to correlate that with the 12th proverb of the month, if you will. It's 12 to 30 proverbs in a month.
Right.
And wisdom is so important. And you know it from a personal experience, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I remember when I didn't have any.
Yeah, hello.
Unfortunately.
And our great need to continually replenish our wisdom, right, to grow in wisdom. You just keep growing. I don't know if you ever come to a place. Well, I know you don't. You don't ever come to a place where you say, I have enough. It's just a continual growing and learning and receiving. Mm-hmm. And our wisdom moment today comes from Proverbs 12:15. And the proverb reads, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Mm. You know, you read through Proverbs and you see there's some serious comparisons. And one of the things that we learn in the book of Proverbs is there's a difference between fools and a difference between a wise man, a wise woman.
Big difference.
big difference. And listen, just because you may have played a fool or done a foolish thing, that doesn't necessarily make you a fool. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
But there are distinctions. I mean, a person can be a foolish person. Mm-hmm. And the Word of God tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but it's the rod of correction that brings it out. And so every young person, you know, you have foolishness inside of you, but it's God's ways that causes that foolishness to come out. That's why we need wisdom. We need to get out of foolish ways.
Right.
And so I believe this scripture is speaking more about the person that is in a continual state of just accepting their own counsel. Mm-hmm. You know, I've come across a few, you know, yeah. A fool that seems, you know, there's a way. That's their dealings, their mindsets, and their world view. You know, everyone has a perception, a world view about things. The way they think.
Right.
And a fool thinks that everything he thinks and his paradigm about the world and about life and is right.
Right.
When it's actually wrong.
Right.
You know, in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's very important because if you want to be a person of wisdom, you want to be of godly wisdom, you're going to be willing to check and be open to how you think. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things is if you're always surrounded by people that are just like you of your own circle, that's not a good judge. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? No. This is how my family's always done it. This is how we always did it. It's like, are you open that possibly, just maybe, your mom didn't know what she was talking about? You know what I'm saying? your dad had no clue at all? Just wondering. You know, right. Just wondering. You know, it's not to be offensive or anything. It's just to say we just got to ask ourselves these questions. You know, and it's not that they were, you know, not distant parents or nothing like that. I'm just saying that we need godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes if you don't know God, sometimes we come to a place that we can worship family. It's like, listen, you're called to worship God.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Just because your dad or your mom or your uncle's like, was it Bible that they shared with you? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it was just some tale in our family. Well, you should check that against scripture. Mm-hmm. But there's a way, a dealing, a mindset. And it's interesting that he says, the word says seems right. Mm-hmm. And the word means like to appear to one's own mind or opinion. Mm-hmm. To appear to be true, probable, or evident. Mm-hmm. See, a fool, it's not that they don't know. The thing is that they actually believe that what they think is actually right. Mm-hmm. It appears right. It appears to be true. And so sometimes, you know, when you're growing in wisdom, you could be so lock yourself into a certain ideology, a certain mindset that you think is so true until someone with more wisdom begins to start shedding some light and says, well, did you think about it from this perspective?
Right.
If you lived a little while, you're like, oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, right.
I was so locked into this one position, into this one thought and ideology. Mm-hmm. And why are we sharing this? We're sharing this because as people of God, as people that love the Lord, as Christians, and that's who VFN Radio is for, so those who are lovers of God, right, mm-hmm. The church, that we want to be in a place of continual growing in the wisdom of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing like God's wisdom. And it's not enough for something to make sense in our own mind. Does it make sense in God's mind? Mm-hmm. That's the question. You know what I'm saying? Does this hold water before the Lord? You know what I'm saying? Are these pails broken? This is your own rig system you got going on here? You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Does this actually, you know, stand the test here before God? Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, wise men and women, they humble, you know, you have to humble yourself. They're humble enough to accept that although they may feel absolutely right about a position, something that's going on, any area, they're still willing to listen. Mm-hmm. So that's what a wise person is. A wise person doesn't come into a situation and says, well, it's just the way it is, and I just know, and that's it. But no matter what the situation, and you got to, this is what you got to realize, that humility will take you a long way. Mm-hmm. Humility will take you a long way. Mm-hmm. That we should always, if someone even just questions or brings it up another alternative, we shouldn't be in a position of quick to be in defense. But right. Our default mode always should be, well, you know, let me seek first to listen, mm-hmm. then to be understood. Let me seek first to understand, rather than me trying to, you know, be understood. What is it that you got to say? Mm-hmm. Because we could be wrong. Sometimes we think that because we're so sincere in what we believe,
right.
I just so mean it. I'm just so convinced. There's no doubt in my mind that you're convinced. But you can be convinced that sincerely.
That's still wrong.
Wrong.
That's right.
Right. And so humility will take you a long, long way. We need each other. That's why it's so important that no man is an island, no woman is an island. Mm-hmm. We can't live in all by ourselves, secluded, non-relational lives. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, walk around these days that are arm's lengths away. They don't have transparent, real, true, authentic mm-hmm. relationships. And I understand. I mean, any right. type of relationship outside of God, it could always be sketchy and just don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
But if you're coming to God and you're walking with God, you need to be praying about good, godly relationships. God's even giving you probably some people in your own life right now. Mm-hmm. We can't take credit for where we are in life, where we live. You got to just like zoom out a little bit and say, in God's infinite wisdom,
right.
He's allowed me to live here.
Yeah.
Of all the, maybe 6 billion people in the world, I live in this town amongst these people. Think about it. Although Facebook says you got 600 friends, you do know that you only have a very few friends, right?
Probably two.
Yeah. So think about it. If God's allowed you to group, to fellowship amongst a certain amount of believers, if God's allowed the church to gather where you are at, we all have to pay special attention. And why did God bring us amongst each other? Mm-hmm. You know, because we're supposed to walk out true and authentic relationship where we're caring about each other and we're looking out for each other's best interests. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we do that is that we build relationships so we can offer each other advice.
Right.
You know, not opinions based upon the latest trends in the news or, mm-hmm. you know, what the next talk show host says, but mm-hmm. what it's word. Yeah, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man, a wise woman listens to advice. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference in hearing and listening, because, you know, sometimes you can hear people say, "Oh, yeah, I hear you," and they're really humoring you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're letting you talk, and you're just in their mind, they're wah, 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 wah. Mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's flattering.
Right, big difference.
Big difference, because you're given the appearance that you're really hearing what, you know, listening to what they're saying, and it's just sound right now. It's not really resonating. Mm-hmm. We're talking about growing in wisdom and growing in the ways of God. And then if we've just come to God, or let's say we're growing in God, we're being discipled, we're really at any place in your walk, at any place you find yourself, you know, your highest goal, if you're a believer, your greatest desire should always to be, I want to be right before God. Whatever that is, God, listen, I don't know how this looks or how this came out or whatever the case may be, but I do know one thing. For me, for my household, for where we're at, for what was going on, mm-hmm. I just wanted to be right in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. That goal alone would allow you to check all of your ideas, all your concepts, and allow you to walk in a place of humility to say, maybe there is another way.
Right.
Maybe indeed I am wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know. Now, it's easy to have that posture, though, when you're uncertain. And anyone can start looking for advice when you're not sure. The question is, can you still look for advice when you are dead set that this is the right way?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the time.
True test, yeah.
Yeah, that's the true test. So being eager to do what's right and do the right thing is a huge driving force. It's a huge motivation to say, okay, let me listen to some advice. And advice is basically opinion about what could or should happen in a particular situation or a council. I mean, think about this. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death.
Mm-hmm.
It seems right.
Right.
But it leads to death.
That's serious. Think about that. One mistake, it costs you everything. Literally.
Absolutely. And not just your death, but those that are close to you. And if you're a husband, if you're a wife, you have children.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, careful, careful.
That's right.
Because just because it seems right to you doesn't mean it's necessarily right.
Mm-hmm.
And God will hold you accountable for that.
Yeah, I've seen entire families destroyed because of one man's bad decision.
Mm. Yeah.
Whole families. It's sad.
Which also means that because you made a bad decision, maybe your family suffered, man, woman, child, whoever. But don't forget, too, that your right decision can cause your family to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction. And in the end of all of this, you'll be wise.
Mm-hmm.
So today's wisdom moment is found in Proverbs 12:15, that the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.